This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hey guys, Lance Erline here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, so Joey Loperfido played Joey Loperfido played first base last night.
Yeah,
I need to do that. And he made a beautiful stop.
Do you miss him? I think it's great. He should only be playing first base in the minors.
Yes.
Only first
base. Yeah, well, he played center the night before. But Joey Loperfido made a beautiful play. He's got great reflexes. I mean, if it wasn't just about money, there is zero. I mean, if it's only about money and that's just such a crappy thing that Jose Abreu, if you're in the Astros system and you're seeing Jose Abreu play on a nightly basis, you're like, wow, how does this happen? What, I thought this was a meritocracy. It's not. It's all about the money. It's all about the capital. Jose Abreu should never be on the field. Never. He should never be out there.
No.
You want to win. I thought you wanted to win. Let's go. I mean, I'm tired of talking about Jose Abreu, but man, oh, man, oh, man. It's awful. When I see Joey Loperfido making plays like that at first base, it's like, what the bleep? And Joey Loperfido, the way he hit when he was here?
Yeah, but we don't have to rush it. You know, you can look, unfortunately, this is not a great year. So you don't have to rush it. Let him see his minor
league. Time to rush it. There's 7 games under 500. Yes, it's time to rush it.
Yeah, it ain't going to be your year.
It's their year. It's not their year. I told you it's their year.
Yes. I know you did. They just lost 3 of 4 in Seattle.
That's all right. They just won their last game with Spencer Arrighetti.
I know they've got a one game
throwing a shutout for 6 innings.
They got a one game win streak going. You are right about that.
Yes, one in a row. And you know where it starts.
Do they play the A's?
It starts with one.
Are they up with the A's next?
No, Minnesota, who's not any good. They're terrible. Okay, I know they're better than the Astros, but they're terrible.
Are we at home?
Yeah, we're at home.
Oh,
yeah. And then, okay, after them, I don't even know who you are.
I'm just going to cruise for about the next 20 games and just see what happens. I'm not going to get too mad.
Oh, because the Cardinals come in here. They stink, too.
Yeah, and we got White Sox and Angels.
No, I mean, you've got... One game over 500 or something.
I've just been hearing about how we have easy parts of the schedule coming up, and then it still wasn't that easy. And here's another easy part of the schedule coming up. If you're really going to get in this schedule actually... Angels, who I know they, you know, swept you... But Angels, White Sox,
they
Cardinals.
Didn't sweep you?
No. They beat you 2 out of 3? Oh, yeah. No, I was at one of the games. We won that one.
Yeah.
Did they beat you 2 out of 3?
Yeah.
Oh.
So?
At home?
What? You mean the 7-3 homestand? Okay, thank you. Okay, 700 baseball? Apparently that's not good enough for you.
That's right. They beat you the last two of the last three.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we've got Angels, we've got White Sox, we've got Cardinals. I mean, on paper, they are winnable.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, like last year's Astros team would probably play 666 ball against them.
Yeah, and this year's team's going to
the mark of the devil?
Yeah,
well, 667.
Yeah. Yeah, we're rounding up.
What do,
It was 2 out of 3. Yeah. You're right. Okay, 667 ball. Okay.
That may have been something.
666 infinity 7.
That may have been stuck in my brain because I did watch the Omen prequel yesterday on Hulu.
It's
pretty good.
Man. And well, this is what happens when you have the ADD. Mark. So you did it. It's not my fault. I watched The Last Match or whatever on Netflix about, was it Netflix? I think it was Netflix, about the Euro finals in 2021, 2022, where it was 2021, and the fans absolutely lost it. This is where they all bum-rushed the whole stadium and broke into, like, people with tickets couldn't go to their seats. They started partying at 10 in the morning. The game was at 7 o'clock at night. The fans were out of their mind. They tore the whole city up. This is before the game. They partied.
Final attack on Wembley?
Yeah, the final attack on Wembley. And this just, it had all the video footage of all the partying beforehand and then them rushing over and punching security guards to get in. And basically, they overtook all the security guards and just jammed their
stadium. Doesn't this happen every
game
there?
No.
Okay.
This one was particularly special because it was England in their own country.
England had a chance to win the Euros.
Playing in a final game.
And everyone's, it was like £2,000 a ticket.
Yeah, 6,000 people rushed.
Yeah.
Rushed the stands to try to get in.
And they
were ticketless.
And they had even more than that out in the streets partying because they're like, I'm not missing this party. England's got a chance to bring it home. And so all these people are like young John Granados just running around going crazy, throwing bikes on the ground, jumping on trucks.
Disavowing their Greek heritage.
Yeah, disavowing their
young
Greek
John Granados.
until it allows them to get free Greek food and he's Greek again.
So this is what you, so you did this, Del.
Yeah. I know. But
just so you know, because you mentioned a show.
Well, he did it because he said the Astros need to play Mark of the Devil baseball.
Well, okay, and you saw the Omen.
I didn't say they're playing satanic baseball.
you did.
You gave a percentage.
Let's get Julian in here. Hey, Julian.
Hashtag La Raza is mental, and hashtag the people stand with Raheel. I just want to say Spencer Spaghetti, he pitched a really, really good game yesterday, and you can say goodbye to that baseball, y'all.
That's not Julian. This may be some wash from my show where guys call in pretending to be another caller and then do that.
Is that thanks for the rub, Dell?
I'm
sorry.
Well,
on Monday, Dell and Mapes will be co-hosting with me.
No.
And we will have a really great show. Mopes, Mapes, and the Man.
We're not co-hosting.
And
in fact,
we're all going to do a show.
Mapes won't. You have to tell
and
Joe.
And Greeny will be on after that.
We're doing some, you're doing some logistical stuff on the air right now. But if Mapes won't be part of the show.
Mapes is going to be part of the show, whether he likes it or not.
No, it'll be a part-timer. That's why Joe wants you to talk to him about it. So he can get someone there in my place.
LZ and the Mopey Mapes?
No, Mapes won't be part of the show. He'll likely just have to do Gallant and George because I'll have to do your spot because you're going to be out the next couple of days.
Ah, yeah. But Mopey's not going to be here? I mean, Mapes, he's not going to be here?
I would imagine he's not going to be here, come in at 7, and then wait around to do Gallant and George.
So what was that, though, that people call in as
people
other
call
callers?
In, people have decided they're going to not use their real
His
names.
Show is a playground, basically.
And call in to the show and pretend to be another caller to make fun of them by being maybe a feminine.
Does Julian talk like that or like the A's announcer?
He doesn't talk like that. Oh. Julian just says stuff that got him banned from my show twice already.
What?
Oh.
How did he get banned for you? You're such an autocrat. You're such a.
It's my show.
Don't call up to there. How about he's?
What did he say?
People?
Don't call on to my show and in the call with what's his Niner gang thing?
Yeah,
gang Niner gang. What's whatever the hell he said?
Bang
bang Niner gang. I banned him. He's in the middle. He was on parole and then did it again. So I had to extend his sentence. Don't call the show with that stupid thing. That's all. That's all I ask. I don't have any rules. Just don't say
bang,
that.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Yeah, it's awful. He's done it here, and we know it sucks. Yeah.
Well, remember when John banned John?
Yes.
Yeah.
Caller, and he made his way back on the show to tell us that the Negro League numbers should not count.
Now, I will agree with John on this one. that the all-time record for average was set by
Josh Gibson.
No. Batting average in a season was set by what was his name? His son played for the White Sox. Lyman Bostock. Lyman Bostock Sr. He had 73 at bats and he hit 466.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. Yeah, there's a minimum number.
No, not anymore. Not anymore, because the new record for best in 1941, it was actually in 1941, same year Ted Williams hit 406. The best now average that year was Lyman Bostock.
73 games or
73 at bats.
No, they've got Josh Gibson played in 60 games. They're still in that bat number, I think, or a game number. You got to play a certain amount of games, I think it is. That's why he's not in there. That's why Lyman Bostock is not listed as the greatest.
Yeah, he is. Where'd you see that? Yeah, that's I know you have to have, but not anymore. You don't have to have a minimum number of. He had literally 73 at bats, and he hit 466. Now it's considered in 1941, highest batting average.
Highest batting average in a season. Knapp, post-1900. Knapp, LaJoie, LaJoie, Rogers, Hornsby, Ty Cobb, George Sisler, Ty Cobb, Joe Jackson, George Sisler, Ted Williams, Harry. No, they don't even show him in here.
It was on their list. 1941, Major League Baseball. Yes, Lyman Bostock was number one. And now
it's got Ted Williams number one here.
Ted Williams 406.
Get your 73 at bats out of here.
Yeah. No. I'm telling you. I'll show it to you.
Show it to me.
I'll show it to you.
But you better not have some kind of one of these aggregated site, you know, where it's coming off of like Fansided or it's coming off of, you know, supercharged baseball numbers.
Not coming off of that. But if in fact they are ranking him, because I'll go back and find it for you.
You think the baseball record books are going to have him ahead of Ted Williams
with 73 at bats? Yes.
There's no way.
I don't. Well, we'll see, because you do have to have a number. You have to have a number of at bats.
You have to be a minimum.
Unless they changed it,
you have to be a minimum qualifier.
Well, right, but maybe they didn't have enough because there were a minimal number of at bats for the Negro League players that year.
Well, they played way fewer games.
Yeah.
But at-bats for Josh Gibson, 262, 272, 194, 280, 208, 183, 199, 120.
Yeah.
Like 198, 302, 199, 190, 186. He never had 73.
73 at-bats, 466, Lyman Bostock.
But that's not listed in the record books.
Yeah. No,
that's just a baseball. Somebody snapped a baseball record. And what's that graphic? That's made that?
Lyman Bostock, 1941, 466, 406 for Ted Williams, 387 for Colin Hyde.
So what does it say? What does the tweet say?
Major League leaders.
No, what does the tweet say? Who put that up?
Oh, John.
John who?
John, the caller.
Case closed.
He didn't make it. He didn't make this thing.
I know. Somebody made it who wanted to make a point that these numbers shouldn't count. Lyman Bostock at 73 at-bats won't qualify by Major League standards. Josh Gibson is a career leader, and it's not single season, it's career. None of his seasons did he have fewer than 120 at-bats.
By Major League standards, Lance, we got guys who now have records who never batted in the major leagues.
Yeah, but you have to have minimum. You're going to have minimum plate appearances.
I understand
that 73 is not going to count, or everybody every year will have higher numbers.
You know, it's funny because
that's John posting that to make
it's
a point.
Funny though. I wonder what I don't know how many games people were playing. How many games were played back then? Because Lyman Bostock's his total over 6 years was 384 at bats. He had 97, 81, 31 at-bats, 76 at-bats.
Dude never played.
He didn't. Well, maybe he was. He hit 387
so
and 466.
Dad, so Big Lyman, did they call him?
Well, no. Well,
I can't even find
Lyman Jr. wasn't around, so they still called him
I can't
Lyman.
Even find his.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yes.
What the hell are you two doing?
We're talking. What? Right now.
We're late for a break.
We are late for a break. We're going to take a break right now. 713-780-3776 if you want to talk.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. Texans back out there. And we heard a little bit of Nick Caserio talking about Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, pretty good wide receiver. He's no Andre Rison, though. He is no Andre Rison. Did you hear, have you heard Andre Rison talking about himself? He was on a podcast with a couple of guys.
He was at the draft, too.
He was at the draft?
One of the picks, yeah, for the Falcons. For the
Falcons?
Yeah.
Andre Rison is pretty high on himself.
Oh, he's always liked Andre Rison.
Right. He's a big fan of Andre Rison.
Yeah, no, he's always been a
fan. Well, it's so much so that and Andre Rison in this podcast, you have it though? It's pretty funny the thing that he says about Andre Rison. Andre Rison really, really, really likes Andre Rison to the point. See, apparently he played defensive back when he was young.
Okay.
Okay. So
and we know famously teammates at one point at Atlanta, him and Deion Sanders, when Deion joined, I think he was a 49er and not a Cowboy. I believe he was a 49er at this time where they got into that little slap fight at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They didn't seem to like each other as much. And a couple of really cocky guys.
Yeah. I think probably because Andre Rison was telling him.
It's like if Lima pitched to Jose Siri.
It would be totally sweet. Here is Andre Rison, who he thinks is the best wide receiver in NFL history.
I'm winning, and I'm not bothering nobody.
Yeah.
I'm winning. I'm playing at a high level. I feel like I'm the greatest to play this position still to this day. Everybody wants to say, oh, that guy is because why? Because he's six, whatever. Nah, it don't go like that. So if you want to say Jerry Rice, okay, that's cool. But I feel like I'm the best to ever play the game. And in saying that, you like, okay, well, I feel like I should have been the first ballot Hall of Famer. I retired top five all time in almost every category.
Yeah.
So then you ask yourself with that mirror, are you a bad person? Are you start trying to finagle through what could possibly be the negatives? What is wrong with you? And so could we all be better people? Yeah. But have I done anything to warrant this denial? I didn't burn my own house up. I didn't do boom. Did I make the mistakes? Wherever I made the mistake, I admit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I believe Allen did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the comparison is a great comparison.
So he went on to say, so I played defensive back and I know that I could check other wide receivers, no wide receiver could check me.
He was probably better than you think. Now, are we denying his greatness? I don't know about that. But in 1990, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns. The next year, 976 yards, 12 touchdowns. The next year, 1,119, 11 touchdowns. The next year, 1,242, 15 touchdowns to lead the league. The next year, 1,088, 8 touchdowns. That's a pretty good run. And as a rookie, he had 820 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns. Then you got to go all the way down to 1997. Well, that's not really all the way down. His last 1,000-yard season was 94. Then in 97, he had 1,092 yards with Kansas City and 7 touchdowns. He ended up with 10,205 yards and 84 touchdowns. Not a bad.
No, it's pretty good.
Not a bad.
No, it's really good.
Better career than I thought. Who had more touchdowns? Him or Andre Johnson?
Him, right?
By 14.
Yeah.
And is Andre Johnson? Is Andre Johnson in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Are you denying Andre Rison's greatness?
Who did he have throwing to?
Now Andre had 4,000 more yards receiving.
Who did he have throwing to?
Ooh, there's not a bunch of stars in Atlanta now.
No.
Andre Rison didn't exactly have a bunch of killers thrown to him.
Who
was? Here, I'll show you. In his very best year, in 1993, which is his very best year, his quarterback was Bobby Hebert. and Billy, who was 4-8, and then Billy Joe Tolliver and Chris Miller.
Well,
I'll take Matt Schaub over that.
Yeah, but he also had
in 91, let's say, 1991,
yeah.
his quarterback was Chris Miller. Chris Miller was okay, 53% completion percentage, 26 touchdowns, 18 interceptions.
Yeah, what about Chandelier? What was his?
Chris Chandler, maybe. I don't think Chandler, I don't think he ever had Chris Chandler.
He didn't have Chris Chandler?
I don't think so. Maybe his second year in 1990. His second year was Chris Miller, 3-9, 57% completion, 17 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. There's no getting around the fact that he had way worse quarterbacks than Andre Johnson.
Well, I don't know.
Way worse. Oh, Matt Schaub was way better than Billy Joe Tolliver and Bobby Hebert. And in 97, he had 1,000 yards receiving, and his quarterback then was Elvis Gerbach.
Wow.
And,
I guess he did.
And Rich Gannon.
He did have it rough.
Him and Rich Gannon. He had those two combined for 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in their 16 total games started. So Andre Rison was a good receiver. He was a good receiver. It is funny to hear him.
The greatest receiver of all time.
But he's probably better than people give him credit for. Now, he's not a Hall of Famer. He didn't get to 11,000 receiving yards. But there's been lots of receivers who have played with bad quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
And Andre, and I would argue Matt Schaub wasn't a bad quarterback when Andre Johnson played with him.
No.
He just, you know, he ran into a wall that was one of the worst walls I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well,
setting records for consecutive pick sixes in games.
that was awful. No. That was really awful. Especially when they were supposed to be, they were one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl that year. And he just was awful, awful. Yeah, I don't know about best. And by the way, he was making reference to I Didn't Burn My House Down. That was Lisa Left Eye, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Lopes, yeah.
Yeah, Left Eye Lopes. She burned the house down.
Yep, from TLC. That whole group was cute. Good-looking girls.
Yeah.
TLC. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I went on a little rabbit hole just looking into all of them.
But,
well, all of them, just two.
What? Which one?
My favorite was
you
not
like Chili.
No, the long-haired girl. T-Boz, or was that Chili?
T-Boz, Chili had the long hair.
Oh,
she dated Chili. Usher, remember?
Yeah. Chili. That was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was my jam.
That was a lot of people's jams.
See, they're cute.
Yeah, they're cute.
All of them.
Why was Left Eye?
She just, her man made her crazy. She had to burn up his house.
What?
She passed away. I can't remember how she died, but early, young too. But yeah, she just burned his house up. Andre Rison will always be, you know what he's more known for? Having his house burned up.
Than she was for 31.
He's more known for having his house burned up than having 84 touchdown receptions with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's true. You get your house burned up one time.
Particularly back then when you're dating one of the biggest pop stars in the world.
Yeah.
She died in a car accident.
Andre wasn't in the other car, was he?
No.
Okay.
She swerved to avoid an oncoming truck.
Two great songs that are still iconic, Waterfalls and No Scrubs. John Mayer covered No Scrubs. It's pretty interesting, but yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Left Eye for burning up Andre Rison's house and taking him out of the Hall of Fame.
Well,
according to him.
He would not have been that well known if his house didn't burn down, actually.
No, but that's an example of why wide receivers now try to get out of their spots. Because it's probably like, I don't want to end up like Andre Johnson getting stuck with Andre Rison gets stuck with Billy Joe Tolliver and Chris Miller and Bobby Hebert. I can't even understand that guy. I mean, look at his quarterbacks. Elvis Gerbach.
Man.
Rich Gannon before he turned into good Rich Gannon.
So do you know he was out of the football for 4 years, then went to the Canadian Football League?
I never knew that.
Yeah, his last year in the NFL was with the Raiders in 2000. Didn't play for 4 years. Then his first year in Canada won a Grey Cup. So he had some juice left. It looks like probably could have played a couple more years in the NFL. But, you know, people were out to get him.
Well, people were out to get him. I mean, you get your house burned down, but you got to feel like the whole world's crashing.
And do we know if it was Left Eye or if it was the government that burned his house down? right now, if with conspiracy theorists the way that they are, there would have been a whole thing about how the government tried to, whoever was president back then, tried to burn his house up. Because probably would have been Clinton.
Andre Rison has spoken out about something, so the government had to, government had punish to him for him. It. Yeah.
Yeah. If Andre Johnson, Andre Rison has spoken out, yeah, the government may have burned it. Alex Jones. I'm telling you right now, this the situation that's going on right now with this left eye being set up, Andre Rison has been, Bill Clinton has burned his house up. Hillary has burned his house up. Because I think in 90 when it happened, I think the Clintons were in office.
So I don't know if
Alex Jones might have had a whole episode of how Andre Rison had been set up by the government and by, you know, a political opponent.
Well, Andre Rison, I imagine he didn't mention it in the podcast that one of the reasons that Left Eye says she burned down is, well, she burned down, she starts fire to his shoes and then it turned into a big fire, so that he physically and verbally abused her. I don't think he got to that in the podcast.
Yeah, he may not have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's you mean?
I don't know if it was true, but that was she pointed to her issues in the relationship for why the incident partly occurred.
Yeah. Well, but okay. I burned your house down, but you did this. Let's not forget.
You made me burn your house down.
She claimed Rison had beaten her after a night out, and ooh, she set fire to his shoes to get back at him. But the burning down the house was an accident. She wanted to ruin his shoe collection, and then it got out of hand.
I believe that.
I can see that.
I can see that. I believe that. Maybe just take it outside, all the shoes, and burn them in the driveway.
That'd be better.
Right? Not in the closet. Not in the closet where all the hanging clothes are. Maybe not like that, Lisa.
Oops. Well, she only had one eye to work with.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
She actually, contrary to popular opinion, she did have two eyes.
She had two eyes?
Yeah.
Thought she only had one to work.
The good one was the left one.
All right, let's talk about Doc Linville. How's your hair? Okay, I know you might have two eyes. I don't know, but I do know this: you might be balding. Okay, here's the problem: if you are balding, if you're too young to be balding, you know what? You might be listening in your 30s right now, and you're starting to you're balding. You need to go to 975 Hair now and get the PRP because it will stimulate the growth in your hair. You can fight back, okay, against this aging process and this balding process because there's one guy that can do it, and that's Doc Linville. You're looking for the best way to keep your hair or move your hair from the side and back to the top. That's Doc Linville. Neo-grafting, it's an awesome process, basically painless. He's got a three-day anesthetic now, and it's just too easy. Okay, I did it on Friday. I was back at work on Monday. Fred did his on Friday, and he was working on Friday. That's how easy it is. So if you're looking for the best way to add hair to the top of your head or stimulate the growth, 975hair.com. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. Marcus says he's got inside information on the Andre Rison fire.
Well, I
got
to hear this.
Okay, good morning, guys. I just heard on the ESPN special about athletes going broke. And she set his house on fire because it wasn't on fire on purpose. The first time she did it was in an iron tub. The second time she did it was in a fiberglass tub. That's the reason the house caught on fire.
So she did it twice? So
that's all I got for you.
Oh, no.
Sir?
She did it twice?
She did it twice to him?
She did it twice.
Wow.
Yes. So the first time, like, you know, they have the iron tub, the nice ones.
Yep.
It just burned up the shoes. The second time she did it, it was in a fiberglass tub.
And fiberglass catches fire. Huh? Fire.
Yeah.
Dang.
It catches on fire.
Dang.
She didn't like those shoes. She was angry about them shoes.
She was not an Andre Rison fan.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Jordans were the issue. I think, or at that,
have you ever been
or
so the mad?
Somebody's mad at these shoes.
I don't think that was the
They're
issue.
They're mad at the shoes. What are you, the jerk? They hate these cans.
They hate these shoes.
Have you ever burned up Wendy's shoes because you were mad at her?
No.
She's got expensive shoes, right?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Have you thrown her clothes out onto the lawn?
I've never done
that. Say, get out?
No. never done that.
Have you ever taken scissors to her dresses?
More importantly, has she ever done that to me?
Well, we were getting to that.
Yeah, sure. That was around the corner. Yeah.
Has anyone ever thrown your stuff out of their house? Or destroyed some of your stuff because they were mad at you?
No. No.
No woman has ever destroyed stuff of yours?
No. I've never hit a woman, though, but so...
Well, no, I didn't claim you did.
Andre Rison's been accused of that.
Yeah, but you can make people mad.
Yeah, oh, no, I can make people very mad.
So did you ever...
I made a lot of women mad.
Did your mom...
More than my share.
Did anyone ever tell you, you can't sleep here tonight? Did your mom ever do that? For you to get out?
No, she never did that. No, no.
Okay.
But she wanted to, yeah, but no, she never did.
Yeah, I've never
had... She never burned my stuff. My wife has thrown out some shorts I like.
Yeah, but that was just she didn't like them.
She didn't like them.
Yeah. That's different than
I still asked her to this day, where are my orange shorts?
But she didn't burn your house down.
It was like 20 years ago.
She threw some shorts away that she liked.
Yeah.
But she didn't burn your house down.
No, she never burned our house down.
Or burn any of your clothes. She just threw some shorts away she didn't like.
Yeah.
Totally different than what Andre Rison and Lisa Left Eye Lopes.
It is totally different.
Yeah, a lot different.
Yeah, a lot different. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was different. Yeah.
A lot different. Astros won yesterday. Spencer Arrigetti. Why do I keep calling Jake?
Spencer Arrigetti.
Jake Odorizzi.
Jake Odorizzi, Spencer. Yeah, that's the Italian thing. But Spencer with a really good performance, the best performance he's had as an Astro. Astros get the shutout. Not a lot of runs scored in Seattle by either team, really. Astros starting pitching did a nice job. You had one game blown by you had a game that was completely blown by Ryan Pressly, which will happen in 2024. Not a lot to get excited about offensively from our hometown team. Caratini had a nice game yesterday. You know, I got to say, I like the way Caratini frames pitches. You know, one thing you'll notice this, and it's something that bothered me last year with Yiner Diaz and with Maldonado, by the way.
Yeah.
They catch it where it is. And maybe they try to pull it up. But what Caratini does is what I see a lot of catchers do, which is catch it on the way up into the zone. And it's just a little subtle thing, but it's so much better from a framing standpoint. At least it's more aesthetically pleasing. I don't know if it'll fool all the umps now that, you know, Angel's not there anymore. But it's
no, Yiner's not good at framing pitches. He's like the stats show. He's like one of the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a reason why guys don't like throwing to him as much. Although, you know, Justin Verlander, the last couple of times out, he's had Yiner behind the plate. Fromber didn't have him behind the plate last time. Caratini was with – is Caratini getting 2 out of 5 starts now? Now, he did homer, which was nice, and he had another RBI.
I mean, they've moved Yiner to the 9 spot.
Yeah. Yiner is not, and I knew this was a real possibility before the season. I mean, we were all excited about having Yiner out there every day, but first of all, he's going to have to pay a lot more attention to the pitching and catching and batters, and so he's going to have a lot more on his mind. So is he going to be as good a hitter? And he's just not as good a hitter this year. Last year he was fantastic. I love when he gets hits. I want Yiner to succeed so badly.
It's only year
but it's still, you know what? He still has his downside behind the plate.
We're still learning. You know, what I want to know is, can't we still be developed on the major league level? Like, can't you work with him on pitch framing? That should be something that they can work with him on. You know, maybe in season it's a little bit tougher, but you should be able to continue the development. This shouldn't be it for Yiner Diaz. Yiner Diaz right now has 202 plate appearances. He's played in 51 games. He's got 190 total at-bats. Who's got a better batting average, him or Caratini? Caratini has played 28 games. He's got 80 plate appearances and 74 bats. So Yiner has 190 at-bats. Yiner's hitting .253 with a .645 OPS, 3 home runs.
Yeah, see, he doesn't have that. Last year, his power was
no.
Was
23 home runs. This year, he has 3 home runs and 23 RBIs. Caratini has 3 home runs and 14 RBIs and 74 at-bats, and he's got an OPS of .746. Caratini right now is out-hitting Yiner Diaz.
Yeah.
He's got a .300 on-base percentage.
But Yiner's, that doesn't matter to the organization. Otherwise, Mauricio Dubon would be hitting.
Right. Well, you can't, but you also, he's your catcher of the future, Yiner Diaz. I'm not suggesting they make a change. What I am suggesting is baseball's difficult. You can't just say, this guy's in the contract year, he's going to be great. Baseball's a mental sport. It's a sport of teams making adjustments. Teams may be pitching him differently. He may be feeling the weight of, you know, having to prepare for games every single, you know, prepare for games every single day after a game's over. He's got to get to work. That's a lot more. And that may be stuff that we have to keep an eye on for him. So I think Yiner's going to be fine, but Yiner Diaz right now is going through the struggles of a second year in the league, and things, you're not sneaking up on anyone anymore.
Somewhere, Dusty Baker has broken out a cigar and gone.
He was trying to protect us from this.
I told you. Look, and now look.
Look, he protected us from all those home runs last year.
Well, maybe.
And guess what?
Maybe if Yiner had to focus more on catching every day, we would get these type of offensive performances from Yiner. Dusty's like, hey, I'm going to let this guy hit, but he can't be a catcher every day.
Quarterbacks don't play their rookie year, remember? That's what he told us. You will thank me.
He did. He did say that.
He did say
that. And now look at Yiner playing almost every day. Now look what you're getting
at
the plate.
Yeah, now look at C.J. Stroud playing every day. Look at what happened. He got a concussion.
Trying to act like you know more than Dusty baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you trying to act like that?
I'm not acting like that. All I'm saying is, last year we shouldn't have been protected from Yiner.
No,
we
should have. Under the tutelage of Dusty Baker, Yiner had 24 home runs. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe catching every day would have been too much.
He's got three.
Maybe catching every day would have been too much.
Or maybe
for Yiner.
He would have had more home runs.
Or maybe not having to catch every day kept him from being overloaded, and he was able just to hit. Now look at him.
When
all
are you
going to
admit that
Dusty
was a good manager?
Dusty was a great manager.
When are you going to admit
Have you won 2,000 games? No.
I never claimed I won 2,000 games.
Yeah, okay. Did you win a World Series? No. Okay.
No, I'm also not going to. I want Dusty back. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Bad weather. The rest of the conversation wouldn't be heard. Unless we're on the stream. People can hear it there, so you guys just keep talking.
So both of the stations are?
Yeah, generally when there is a National Weather Service thing,
what's on both?
It takes over the station.
It takes over everybody's station?
Yes. I don't know if they do it at all at the same time, but generally that's how it works. People
got
to know.
I'm catching a plane right after the show.
It feels like we've gotten past the worst of it, though.
I'm catching a plane right after the show, and they've already told me. Yeah, severe thunderstorms. It looks like your departure is going to be late. Reducing the number of arrivals and departures per hour. This may delay our ability to service your aircraft, including fueling, catering, and loading and unloading of bags. We're sorry for any inconvenience. Thank you for your patience. Looks like I'm flying out later than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Might want to get a luncheon.
Might want to. Well, I gave all you guys my lunch.
Sugo. Got the sugo.
Yep.
Yeah. Gave right. You guys my lunch.
Thank you, John, for the sugo.
Damn it. It was good. It's good, too.
Some fancy Tupperware.
Yeah,
some,
no. What is with that Tupperware's bougie?
It's
not. Did they give it back?
It's throwaway. No.
Yeah, of course. You don't want it back, but it is fancy.
It is
got
fancy.
Designs on
my
it.
My wife bought it. It's got leopard skin or something. It's what she does.
Well, the issue is you can't see into what you can't see what the food is.
I know.
It's that fancy.
That's
it. It could be anything in there.
Should we go to break?
Or we can talk.
They can hear us now.
Yeah, they can hear us now.
Oh, people can hear us now?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, we probably
should. And we will go to a break, and they can hear us both.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's play a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back after that. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know something pissed Dell off. Apparently, if you're 9-3 in the SEC, you should be in the playoff.
That's according to them. It didn't piss me off. I just asked a question, or at least just put the story out there.
Okay, how many teams are in you probably know the answer to this, in the Big Ten and SEC combined now?
Right now, it's 28?
34.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't even think of all the Pac-12 teams. Yeah. It's still 34, though?
It's 34.
How many in the SEC?
Well, it's, what is it?
14?
16.
They just added the two.
16.
Right? Yeah.
16.
Oh, they added Oklahoma and Texas, yeah.
Yeah. 16
Good
and 18.
Lord, 34 teams in college football in two
So are they making a good point, though, that if we're beating each other up,
which
they're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, but guess what? You also get way more money than everyone else. And
yeah, but
you know, you can make this argument.
But okay, but we're talking about the playoff.
They get the advantage of playing tougher schedules. That always is a big – that's one of the reasons why FSU wasn't in the playoffs last year. We also know it's because their quarterback was out. But also you can make an argument against them from a schedule standpoint.
Yeah.
The ACC is not as good. You benefit from having a tougher schedule, too. You benefit from being able to get better wins.
Well, Florida State didn't even benefit from it. They were undefeated and they couldn't get in.
No, I'm saying they were hurt because people say, yeah, they're undefeated against a bad team.
Yeah, right.
Against bad teams. But Georgia, you know, you could say Georgia. Look at Georgia. Georgia, you know, Georgia's got one loss against Alabama, a good team. So you also benefit from playing a good schedule, too, because your wins matter more. You have bigger wins.
Right. But, okay, so if it's a team, if a 9-3 team versus a 11-1 team in the Big 12, a 9-3, is there a chance that we'll have a 10-2 team, let's say, in the Big 12, finishes second or third in the Big 12? Do you take the 9-3 team from the SEC?
I don't care. We have a million spots now. Who cares?
There's 12 spots now.
I know. There's a ton of spots. I don't feel like arguing about 12 and 13 and 14. This is what happens. Anytime you expand it, then why isn't this team getting in at 21 and 22?
Well, it happened when it was two. It's like the third team is SEC, like, hey, wait a minute. Always like that.
SEC's getting a minimum.
Doesn't matter how many teams you put in.
A minimum of three teams are getting in from the SEC.
A minimum. Right?
So we already know that.
Del, would you be are you happy with that? A minimum of three teams are getting in?
I don't like a number being put on it as far as, well, they're at least going to get three. I want it to be merit-based, but, you know, because of their standing and the number of teams, you simply expect that there will be at least three good SEC teams.
And they'll
teams.
Get more money for all the playoff appearances, and they'll keep getting, you know, we can argue about how many teams they get in, but the bottom line is they're going to be living like fat cats.
And frankly, the SEC can take credit for it because they'll take credit for anything, but when Oklahoma and Texas, because those teams weren't made by the SEC. They're perennial powers. I'm not going to credit the SEC for having Oklahoma and Texas. Oh, look how great the SEC is. Oklahoma and Texas were great before you grabbed them. They're not great because of you.
Because of you, but it makes the conference even better.
That's fine. You use your influence and power to get those schools, but they're not SEC.
What do you mean they're not SEC?
No. You know, the SEC, look how great we are. You didn't make Oklahoma and Texas. You just happened to acquire them. They're
just
brands.
Just like when Missouri and A&M came in.
They're
the
brands
SEC
unto themselves.
The SEC wouldn't accept them. Like, SEC's fans were like, uh-uh. You ain't SEC yet. You got to be around a lot longer. They didn't even count Missouri and
but
Texas.
Arkansas
A&M.
Still isn't accepted.
Yeah, those are SEC people, though.
People who
don't wear shoes and whatnot.
What do you call them? Yes. What do you call them, John?
The pigs?
Yeah.
Stupid pigs.
Yeah, that's what he calls them.
Yeah, they're accepted. They always had
not
more,
really.
They were always more SEC than they were,
you know,
Southwest Conference.
And I know they'll have the patches on their uniforms
like
on the field, but no, I don't think when you look at Oklahoma and Texas, you're going to think, oh, that's
no,
SEC. You're not going to look at them
forever.
That way.
It's going to take a long time for me to see.
UCLA and USC, they're not going to be looked at as Big Ten schools. They just happen to play in that conference.
Ever. You're never going to look at it. You'll have to
Oregon,
have whole
Washington the same way.
Whole generations will have to die off and new generations come up. And we'll even see if college football is still going on. I just think it's going to be a semi-pro league eventually. They're going to have to get to that.
It already is.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe not with college included with it. We'll see. I do think that, because can you imagine if you didn't have to give athletes scholarships and they could just play sports and didn't have to, and they just play on your club team basically, and then students could get more of that scholarship money to reduce debt for students? It would be great. You could have football and then still do, you know.
Didn't they try that in basketball?
What do you mean? Well, if you're not going to stay
didn't
in
LeVar
school.
Ball try that?
Yes, but that was not on the college level. This would
well,
be
no,
on the college
no. Instead
level.
Of going to school, you have play ball and you get paid.
Yeah, but they can do it now in college football. A lot of these guys don't care about school anyway.
Well, no, I know.
So if you don't care about school, you don't take the. You get a higher stipend. You don't get the scholarship for classes. You don't have to go to classes. And we'll just let you work like 5 hours.
Just wear the uniform and don't go to the school?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why not do that?
I don't know.
Then let somebody who needs a scholarship, who's actually wants to go to school and not take on $260,000 of debt while you get paid to be a backup guard.
Our government is giving it back to you. Don't worry.
How about that?
Don't worry.
Well, not everybody. Some of our listeners are pretty pissed. They're like, hey, what about me?
Hey, I want that back.
We have a friend of ours who was paying. I mean, he just stopped paying 4 years ago. Now, he also became a doctor. But yeah, I told you A&M got rid of a bunch of positions and then fired guys who've been there a long time. They got rid of a bunch of those guys, eliminated some positions, and then came with some cheap guys for other positions to save because they're trying to get ready financially for the big hit that's coming when you have to start sharing revenue. And there are going to be some programs more than likely eliminated because of this, because of college football and college basketball, the revenue share.
It's going to look a lot like the NFL Network.
That's not good, but that's not good though.
No,
that's not good. Like the
watch what you wish for. But here's the deal: is forever, you know, everybody's getting fat. Coaching staffs of 14 coaches on a staff.
Oh yeah, that's those days.
Are over. There's going to be you're going to see a lot of lean staffs now. That coaching profession is going to be a tough one.
Yeah,
it's as if it's not tough enough every Christmas. If you're a college coach, you're worried about your job.
Oh, yeah.
Every Christmas.
You usually get a two-year contract.
Yeah.
And so it's a two-year contract. It's guaranteed 2 years. Now, if you're a head coach, you know, you make a ton of money. And assistant college coaches now make way, way more money. They get paid well. They don't have tremendous job security, but they get paid really well now in good programs. There's a lot more money for those guys, way better than when my dad was a coach. Like, it's not even – it's crazy how much better it is. But I think that, you know, unfortunately, this is why we have to – I saw it coming. There's nothing you can do about it. But at some point, you have to be able to say, look, we know that this needs to happen. We need to get players paid. But let's figure out the right way to do that. And I think if you really go back and you look at what was happening with George Floyd, with the movement of activism that was moving forward.
And now with the Scottie Scheffler movement.
We had COVID. No, he has nothing to do with it. We had COVID also, not the Scottie Scheffler movement.
You know, there are protest songs for different events. We go back to Vietnam, there are protest songs. What would be the protest song for the golfers banding together to say defund the police?
Well,
what would your protest song be?
We Shall Overcome was the big civil rights song. You had Arlo Guthrie and also your boy Bob Dylan were singing protest songs. Yeah, is there somebody who can sing a protest song about Scottie Scheffler?
What's the quintessential golf protest song?
Maybe Darius Rucker can write something
out with something. Maybe.
You know?
I was thinking, you know, maybe if a war starts up because of it, maybe Bruce could write something.
A war?
I don't know, a civil war.
Between who? The golfers and who? Everybody else?
Yeah, well, I mean, if golfers unite, I would watch it.
Hey, did you see the guy who he dragged 40 yards, Scottie Scheffler? The cop said, hey, I forgive him. We're good. I just want him to know that we're all good. So
forgiveness.
Yeah, he forgave him.
Well, but he
isn't that great?
He brought that on himself.
He dragged him 60 yards.
Yeah, everybody says they're sorry after they, you know.
After what? After you've been dragged by a car? Everyone says they're sorry? Or they apologize or they
sorry
forgive?
Sorry, I got it. My
he
pants
should
on
apologize
your tires.
To Scotty.
Yeah, he didn't say he was sorry. He said he forgives
no,
Scotty.
That's not the way I saw it.
I was like, wait a minute. What does John say? He's not apologizing.
All right, 901 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Golfers Unite.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.